Welcome, hustlers, players, and squares. You are now tuned in to the W. James Dennis Podcast. All things game, all the time. Sit back and soak it up. www.wjamesd.com. Now, let's get in motion.
Okay, just real briefly about me. As said in the biography, I did try to, at 15, I was 15 years old. My very first job, I was working after school. Used to clean up the middle school in my neighborhood. So, washing chalkboards, scraping up gum off the floor. And it was at that time, my very first job, I realized I didn't want to work for anybody else. So, the only way to rectify that, since I didn't have anybody around me or anybody in my family that actually had a business, was do what most people do, and that is go get information. I bought books, I bought courses, I did everything I could do with the little money that I had to try to learn business. Now, both my parents were in my life, so I was very fortunate in that regard, very fortunate. And my father, he always used to try to start businesses. He never actually started the business. But I used to watch him sit down, make his plans, get everything designed and ready. And now this has nothing to do with nothing, but I just thought it was a funny story. But he was going to get into the food market, so he made these things called curry puffs. And he just, our whole freezer was just filled with bags of curry puffs. And what he was doing was seeing how long they could stay frozen before you cooked them, and they tasted bad. So, I mean, this is what I was going through growing up. So this came into my mind. So at 17, I was like, I want to take a shot. Now, back then, because you know I'm 40 now, so back then, you didn't have, if you wanted a business card, you had to get it professionally designed. You had to have a photograph ready. You had to actually take it to the printer so they can photograph it, print it, and then you needed different sizes because you need a business card, letterhead, etc., etc., etc. It wasn't easy to do. So I did all of that work. I started my business. And despite everything I learned over those 2 years, when it was time for me to actually begin to do what we all try to do, get clients, get customers, I realized I didn't know how. I had no communication skills, no solid business skills. Time went on. I kept studying. I kept buying books. I kept buying courses. Early 20s, started a second business, actually. That gentleman right there was involved in that. So we started selling silver jewelry. Business didn't go good. And I'm just like, what is wrong? What am I missing? And what I was missing was a few key principles about business. That's what we're here to talk about today. But I just kind of wanted to give you a little background about me. Because what I learned is the way business is taught, oftentimes, not all the time, but oftentimes it's overly complex and it's overly complicated. So I like to keep things simple. So today we're going to be talking about blogging. We're going to talk about branding and how this ties in together so you can reach out to more people. I first started blogging back in 2006. I was actually hustling on the streets at the time, and I wanted to go ahead and do something. I wanted to get away from that environment. Started blogging back in 2006. So at this time, mind you, there's no Facebook, there's no Twitter. I think YouTube just got started in 2005. Nobody really heard about it. So you had MySpace. Then you had Blogger. And I started blogging just because I love to write. I started writing when I was around fifth grade. So I figured out what I would do is I would just tell the stories in a nice way, a lot of stuff that I was experiencing. I did that for about 2 years. Gained a little bit of traction, not too much, but it was something I really enjoyed doing. So when I got back into business as an author this time, I was like, how effective is it? And this was 2014. How effective is it in 2014 to actually blog? Because everything's changed. The whole landscape's changed. Everything's videos, pictures. People don't really sit and read that much anymore. How effective would it be? So I ran an experiment. So I started a new website, completely new, from scratch. And I did an experiment, the experiment is going to be up toward the end of this year. I did an experiment to see, completely with organic reach, extremely little advertising, very little social media, how effective would blogging be to get my name out there as an author, get my name out there as a public speaker, and increase awareness of my business. So in 2 years, actually the numbers I just checked last night, went from And again, this is kind of informal. If anybody has any questions, don't be scared. Just jump in. So as of last night, currently my website, let me know if I'm writing too small, or if you can't read my handwriting, I have terrible, terrible handwriting. All right. So as of last night, my website per month generates 3,900 page views, 1,000 plus unique visitors per month. Now, is everybody familiar with those terms, page views? There's okay. Good. So, on the grand spectrum of things, how good is this? It's okay. It's all right. Ideally, any website that's considered good, it's about 5,000 plus page views per month. That's considered a solid, good website. People have sold websites that can generate that. Unique visitors, honestly, is not as important as page views. Why is that? Just to keep it simple, let's say I have 100 page views, and I also show I have 100 unique visitors. That means that every time a page loads, which constitutes a page view, that person is only looking at one page, which means they're probably going to your homepage or another page on your website, they're clicking right off. But if I have 2,000 page views and 200 unique visitors, that means those people are sticking around. They're going through the content on my website. So this number, where I'm currently at, now remember, I placed limits on what I was doing on purpose so I can explain to you what I'm explaining to you today. This isn't theory. This isn't something I came up with. This isn't anything I read out of a book. I've done this and continue to do this. And I have the statistics to back this up. With advertising on less than a dollar a day, if you go to my Twitter, I think I have 70 Twitter followers. If you go to my business Facebook page, I think I have 70 followers. All this stuff that everybody teaches you that you need to increase website traffic, I'm telling you, you don't need it. But how is this done? Now, once you learn this system, I'm going to walk through everything with you. Once you learn this, remember, I have self-imposed limitations on what I'm doing. You don't have those. This was done in a little under 2 years. You won't have those self-imposed limitations. So what I did in 2 years, you guys should be able to do in a year. Easy. But there's something we need to understand first. Everything we do, this little diagram, everything we do has a center point or a center focus. I'm about to talk about branding. Because branding is extremely important. And everything that you're going to do from branding is going to extend out. Every flyer you make, business card you make, every blog post you make if you choose to blog, every Facebook post you make, everything you do, Instagram, picture, Periscope, all of that stuff. All this stuff needs to come from one center. If the center is not clear, if the center of your brand is not clear, if the center of what you're doing is not clear, everything that comes from that is going to be incorrect and wrong. And what is oftentimes is going to happen is you're going to have brand confusion. We'll talk about brand confusion in a moment. Actually, let's cover that now. I said I'm going to keep this informal. What is brand confusion? Real simple. Everybody here is familiar with Burger King. When you hear the word Burger King, just anybody, what's the first thing that comes to your mind other than burgers? That's unfair. Other than burgers, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Food? Shakes? Soda? Fast food? This is what's in your mind, the image or brand of Burger King. So if you were outside riding a bike, you fell off your bike, sprained your wrist, for medical treatment, would you go seek a place called Burger King Medical? No. Why? Because there's something in your mind that does not equate quality medical treatment with the Burger King brand. That would be brand confusion. And that's kind of a drawn out, exaggerated explanation. But the subtleties of it are extremely deep, and it's things that you need to understand. Everything that we're going to do needs to come from a very, very clear center, and that's your brand. When you are blogging, what is a blog? A blog is a tangible representation of your brand. Now, you can't physically touch it, but it is something that is going to reach out to people, and it's something that can touch people on different emotional levels, if it's done correctly. So a blog is a tangible representation of what your brand is supposed to represent. We'll get into blogging a little bit later. But we need to understand what the most important thing is, what all this is about. Everybody wants to make more money. Obviously, everybody here is business-oriented, so we all know that. In order to do that, to increase your revenue, you need to have clients or customers, and you need to bring them in. So you need to get them, and once you get them, you need to keep them. In order to do that effectively, you have to know kind of how the consumer mind works. This is a very, very terrible representation of the two sides of your brain. Don't worry, I'm not going to get too deep. But we're dealing with consumer psychology, okay? So we have the left side of our brain, and we have the right side of our brain. Left side of our brain deals in logic, reason. This is where we do our math problems. This is where you do your shopping lists. I need to go to Walmart to get such and such. And there's a few other things, but we'll just keep it simple. The right side of your brain is a little bit different. It focuses more on creativity, imagination, different. And being human beings, of course, we both have left sides and right sides of our brain. What does this have to do with the customer? Your customer or client, let's back up for a second. If I came to you and I said, check this out. Yesterday, I was driving down the street. I saw this big green guy jumping over the highway, big, huge, 10 feet tall, had a lot of muscles. You would look at me like I was crazy. Look like a big, incredible Hulk. If I told you that story, you would be like, you need to see some medical treatment. You know what I'm saying? But if I went to the movies, I want to see that. Which means the left side of my brain is going to shut down. And I'm more involved in the movie with the creative and imaginative side of my right brain. Left side of your brain is logical. If I told you a story like that, logically, it makes no sense. It sounds like fantasy. You would cut it off. You wouldn't believe me. But if I go to a movie, I'm looking at a whole bunch of images on the screen, stories, most of them are not true, but yet I'm entertained, and I don't fight that mentally, I don't fight against that. I go there. That's called the suspension of disbelief. That's something that you accept on the right side of your brain. What is advertising and marketing? Well, everybody here is familiar with the difference between marketing and advertising. If you're not, it's no problem. Like I said, I'm just keeping this informal. If not, I'll explain it. Explain Everybody's familiar? Explain it.
Explain
it. I'll give you the simple version. I'm just going to abbreviate. Marketing and advertising, what's the difference? Real, real simple. Your market is the whole cow. Your advertiser is just a slice of beef off of that cow. Your marketing is your bow. Your advertising is the arrow you shoot from that bow. This is where your general aim is going, and this is the target you want to hit. That's all it is. All the other, there, yes, it's a little bit deeper than that. But this is all this is. And this works. Major Fortune 500 corporations spend hundreds and millions of dollars a year, billions of dollars a year, doing statistics on marketing so they know where to shoot their arrow. They know how to advertise without wasting money. They spend billions of dollars a year gathering information, stuff they don't know, that they need to know so they can advertise effectively to the market that they choose. So they're going to find out where their general aim is going to be, and then they want to shoot their arrow, and they want to make sure they hit their target. That's all it is. Okay, so marketing and advertising. Marketing is logical. It's statistics. It's proof. It's tangible representations. Social proof. Evidence. Logic. Advertising, on the other hand, there's an old salesperson's saying, don't sell the steak, you sell the sizzle. Advertising is not logical. How many times have you, you're at home, if you watch TV, most of your commercials that you watch, they're not logical. They follow a logical order, but they're not trying to logically explain something to you, like I'm doing that. It's a lot of images, sounds, pictures. They're trying to portray something. So advertising is not logical. It is imagination, most of the time. So when you're marketing and advertising, you're dealing with, automatically, two different sides of a person's mind. But to be effective, once you understand your market, where you're trying to aim, to be effective, you need to know how to get into the right side of their brain, or what we have just discussed in the movie example, the suspension of disbelief. Your marketing advertising efforts, particularly your advertising efforts, only need to be about 25% logical, 75% imagination. You say, well, terrible handwriting. Say, okay, well, that doesn't make any sense, and it's not supposed to make any sense. Let me explain to you why. What is a brain? Anybody? What's a brand? Okay, nobody. And I used to have a way I used to explain this, but this man gave me another example, which I think is a much, much more effective way to explain what a brand is. Travel back in your mind for a moment, back to high school. In your high school, you had groups of students that had labels attached to them. So you had the smart student, the nerd, you had the more promiscuous lady that had a certain type of reputation attached to her. You had the bully. You had the tough guy that nobody wanted to fight. You had the jock who was good at just like every sport. You had the lady who was a young lady who may have been good speaking in front of people, probably the valedictorian. You had all these people, and they all had different labels attached to them, whether they were true or not true. But through the repetition of hearing this over a school year or multiple school years, it becomes true in the minds of the other students. That jock dude, okay, we can see that. He plays sports. He's getting numbers. Some of the other stuff's a little shaky. The bully, the good fighter, maybe he just had a really good day. Maybe the other students that he was fighting got caught off balance. Next thing you know, he's on top of him. It just looks like he knows how to fight good. It could be true, it could be untrue. But it doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, what's in the rest of the students' minds is what matters. It's the same thing with advertising and marketing. 25% logic, 75% imagination. Because everything else that you are going to learn, whenever you go study a book, whenever you go buy a business course, whenever you go to any other lectures, all this stuff comes down to one single common denominator. How to get in a customer's mind and how to stay there. That's it. There's nothing else. This is all mental. This is all mental. Everything you learn, business related, are just methods of how to do that. That's all they are. But if you don't understand why a particular method is effective, it's not going to be effective. And if there's somebody trying to teach you something, and you can't see, after I explain this to you, and you can't see how this works, how to get into your customer's mind and stay there, then, in my opinion, make your own choice, but in my opinion, they're not teaching you anything. You need to understand what you're doing, why you're doing, and how you're going to do it. And if a business is predicated on the success of having customers, don't you think you need to understand how a customer's mind works? That is what you're going after. No customers, no revenue. Period. So you need to understand who you're targeting, how you're going to target, and how to get into their mind and stay there. This is what branding is about. They need to have a reference point that relates to you and your business. That's all it is. This is all mental. This is all mental. All right, any questions before we move on? Okay. Everything's clear. Because I want you guys to leave here with something today. I'm honest. I took notes, and normally I don't have notes, but I had some notes today because this stuff needs to be presented in the right order. All right. Let me take a brief detour, and let's talk about mental positioning. This is very important as you solidify your brand. We're still talking about brand. This is mental positioning. So if I have somebody, I'm going to pick on McDonald's through this whole talk, so just let me have that. McDonald's. Ideally, one of the very first successful fast food restaurants. Not the first fast food restaurant, but the most successful fast food restaurant. And very, very smart marketing and advertising strategy because they appeal to the children. Which means as they grow up, they're going to take their children there. As those children grow up, they're going to take their children there. Smart. Really smart. Now, of course, because of that brilliance, this put them in the first position. So everybody's, like human beings do, oh, McDonald's. They have a system. They have fast food. They're making a lot of money. We need to go do something like that. So taking it up to about the 80s, this is pretty much how it ran. McDonald's was in first place as far as fast food burger joints. We had Burger King. And then Wendy's came in third. McDonald's had the number one position mentally as a fast food burger spot. Remember, food doesn't necessarily have to be good. Service can be crap. So McDonald's was, back then, I guess they still kind of advertise like this, they were pretty much family, children, fun. Just a great all-around place to take your family. Now, if I have this position in my customers' minds, it is not a good idea to fight against that. That's not how the mind works. What did Burger King do? They took the opposite position. Burger King was the adult fast food restaurant. So they had real burgers, flame broiled. This is in kiddie land. This is, come here and get some real fast food, whatever that means. All right, so they had, this was the adult place to go. They took a position opposite of McDonald's. That is effective advertising and marketing. Because McDonald's left a gap in the more adult market. Although the adults were still taking their kids to McDonald's, when you're offering them something that tastes better, and at the time, I don't know what the heck happened, but at the time, Burger King did taste better than McDonald's, at least in my opinion. More adult taste. They left the whole market open. So Burger King tried to take it. And they were successful with it for a time. Now, poor Wendy's, they're down here in third. What did Wendy's have? They have to take whatever scraps that were left. So the only thing that was left was...
Where's the
beef? We have real beef. That's all they had. But I mean, it worked. Because these two left a gap open. Wendy's took it. Okay, so all this making sense. This is okay. So what we're doing when we advertise and market, this is what we're doing. You need to look at, actually, let me explain this to you all. I know y'all are already in business, but if you want to do some little extra homework, it's called the four quadrant method. You can actually turn this into six or eight or whatever. So let's just say, I don't know, I'm on food today, so let's just roll with restaurants. Oh my God. Y'all don't see this. I'm going to offer two, by the way. These are restaurants. Okay, so we have four restaurants in our particular market. We have an Italian place. I cannot spell. Okay, we have an Italian place. We got a wing place. We got a place that sells sushi. And heck, I don't know. Taco place. So let's just say in your particular little neighborhood, these are pretty much like the four main restaurants. They're all different. The wing place is a little bit more laid back, less informal. Let's say the Italian restaurant is very upscale, very expensive. They give you those, you know, little pieces of food for a very high price. Sushi spot, very more business oriented. Corporate clients going in there, have a very big lunch rush. Taco spot, kind of like the wing spot, a little bit less informal, more family oriented to a certain degree. And through our market research, and since we are all small business people, you can't pay people to do this, but you can do this yourself. Once you have an idea of your 4, 5, 6 competitors, you want to do a little bit of legwork on them. What they offer, how they offer it, how they market, how they advertise, what they represent, what their brand is, their label, what they represent, what they're trying to give to the customer. Once we have an idea of that, we can kind of get an idea of who has the number one spot, who has the number two spot, who has the number three spot, who has the number four spot. And we can position ourselves in what's left. Or, if we have the means to do it, which I'm going to give you some means today, if we have the means to do it, we can make our own five. And we can skip all this. We don't have to worry about competition too much, because we're going to establish ourselves as a number one or number two spot in our customers' minds. Okay. Questions so far? All right. Either I'm explaining this stuff really good, or y'all just fading out.
You're doing a great job. You just right. Answer the questions that I had.
All right. Now, I'm sorry. I'm checking my notes, making sure I'm... Okay. So our advantage as a small... Yes, sir.
Okay, 4 o'clock.
Right.
What I'm trying to get is, I know you divided them up, and I guess that's the competitors.
Right.
But the overall purpose for doing the 4 quadrants, is it just to measure the effectiveness and the brand positioning of them?
Yes, sir. That's it.
Okay.
So, you understand, like I said, this is upscale, laid back, family. Okay, let's just say, further.
Would it be smarter to have, like, similar brands, or because you're going on the basis of food?
Okay, yeah, for this particular example,
yeah,
these are all restaurants in the area you want to open your restaurant.
Okay.
So you're looking at the overall market of what's available food-wise.
Gotcha.
So that's what this example. If you want to go into something a little bit deeper, it's similar process.
Gotcha.
Okay. Right. Any other questions? Okay. So, as an advantage as a small business owner, especially in today's time, is that you can do something that big companies cannot do. Because they cannot break, or if they're smart, they cannot break their brand. So when you see a CEO of a major corporation, he's going to act a certain way. There's certain things he cannot say. There's certain things he has to say. Some CEOs of corporations, you have no idea what they look like, no clue. So you have a faceless company. As a small business owner, you don't have that advantage. You have to have a face. This is actually an advantage, because now that we have social media, which we didn't have, barely had 10 years ago, you're able to connect to people a lot faster, a lot more thoroughly. And you want to use this to your advantage. I'm going to prove to you that you don't need to fully blow it out to increase brand awareness, but it does help. Everything helps, because we're trying to shoot our arrows. But it's not as important as some people may have you believe. That's what I'm trying to say. But